Now, we're going to look at good reasons to be in a relationship. But before we begin all that, we're going to be looking at good reasons to be in a relationship. Next week, we're going to look at bad reasons to be in a relationship. Okay? The reason why I want to go over bad reasons, like I said earlier, sometimes as a pastor, in dealing with messy relationship, I'm talking about people that are not married, sometimes I think it's bad relationship is because they had bad reasons going into it. That affects all of that, okay? So, in light of that today, let me ask you guys, as we go around each room, you guys can share, what are some purpose people get in a relationship, whether good or bad?
Nancy, do you mind if I put something in the room?
Okay. Yeah. So, what are some reasons? Okay, so during the study, what are some reasons people are in a relationship, whether good or for bad? Or it could be both.
Companionship.
Companionship, okay. Good. Anything else? What are some reasons? I might get more personal. What are some reasons why you want to be in a relationship? Okay. Nancy, you were gonna say something?
Well, you said negative ones too.
Oh, yeah. Positive and negative. Yeah.
Okay, a negative one is obsession.
Obsession. Okay, good.
That's a negative one.
Yeah, some people could be obsessive. Like relationship is an idol. Ben W, you gonna say something?
Burning with passion.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, someone's burning with passion. How are you doing, Mr. Burn? Okay. So burning with passion is one reason why, okay? But I also want to clarify that too, okay? Because sometimes some guys would also bring that verse and say, I need to be in a relationship because, man, like, I'm like a, I don't know, I'm like a dog and therefore I need to be in a relationship. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. But there's also some things you need to deal with heart issues too, okay? Okay, so what are some other reasons people have for being in a relationship? Good or for bad? Nothing? Okay. So companionship, okay. So for marriage, okay. So we're going to look today at good reasons first to be in a relationship. And then next week we'll look at bad reasons. And I think we do need to talk about bad reasons too. Because I do feel sometimes when, if your purpose is off, then everything else is what? Going to be a problem, right? Just like the same thing, if you enter a plane, have you ever sometimes been at like an airport and there's like Terminal 17 and then there's Terminal 17A? Like it's right next to each other, but if you go on the wrong plane, nowadays they check, right? But let's just say you hypothetically go on the wrong plane. Now your starting point might seem like, oh, it's just only a little different. Just one door next to each other. We can end up in the two different parts of the world, right? Opposite direction. Same thing also as well, if your beginning point of your reasons is wrong, that might actually bring a lot of problems. Or if it is good, it is biblical, it is godly, also that would bring a blessing to the other person. And also even, according to whatever degree that God has, also a blessing to yourself also as well, okay? Or at least God is working through you, whatever that looks like, okay? So in light of this, okay, we've considered some of the reasons people have for relationship. And sometimes, by the way, when we talk about bad reasons, next week we'll talk about, some of the bad reasons are not bad reasons in itself. It's bad reasons. Some of it's like, okay, it's good reasons, but it becomes a problem because it's what? It's above God, putting God first, okay? When you say, oh, I want companionship so much, I'm going to, what, break God's way, doing God's way, does that make sense? Then you bring about problems, okay? Some of those reasons are good. But it becomes a problem when it becomes out of priority. Does that make sense? Okay. So we'll look at that next week. But today we're going to look at good reasons to be in a relationship. A note of clarification. The following reasons are good reasons provided that it is in the right order of priority. Okay. So really, these reasons that are good, it's really, when I say it's good, it's also realized that it could become a bad problem if we don't have it in its right priority. Okay. In all our hearts, if we were to have reasons in our heart for why we have relationship, we put it in a pecking order, right, of priorities, okay? Put it in priorities. Let me read on again. A good reason that is above pleasing God would therefore not be pleasing to God and no longer be a good reason to be in a relationship, but becomes an idol, okay? It could become an idol, and therefore, if it's going to be an idol, the reality is when we have something above God and we treat that as functional God, that whatever reason, that reason is then it's never going to fully please us. Because why? Only God is perfect, right? Let's just say you want to have the ideal spouse. Then if you don't have the ideal spouse, what happens? Could you become tyrannical towards that individual?
Yeah.
Wanting to change, etc., right? Or you leave that relationship, every relationship you leave because you don't have the commitment because it's it's not what you want. Expect. Does that make sense? Okay. So these reasons are good, but we must put it in its proper priorities. Okay. So today we're going to look at four reasons. How many reasons?
Four
good reasons. Okay. But these reasons must be put in its priority. You guys look at the picture. If you guys look over here. Okay. I put it. This is. Now, I'll be honest, I made this a few years ago, okay? So, back in the day, when I just used paint, right? The first reason is going to be pleasing God, okay? Your first reason why you want to be in a relationship is pleasing God first. But that affects everything else, okay? That should be your first priority. Secondly, is the example of Christ and the church, okay? That your priority, the relationship, a good reason to be in a relationship is you want this relationship that you have with someone else to be an example of Christ and the church, okay? Notice, by the way, all these reasons is not about yourself first. You guys realize that? Thirdly, is to love the other person. Okay, do you guys see that? So you notice it's God first, right? Okay? Then Christ, then the other person. And then fourthly is for companionship, okay? Fourthly is for companionship. And I would say these are the good reasons, but we need these to be in order, okay? By the way, let me ask you guys this question. Would it be a problem if you put companionship first and then pleasing God is last or doesn't get there? Do you think that could become a problem? Yeah, okay. Okay, it could be, right? Yeah, and even with that, if you want companionship before loving others, could that become a problem too? That would be, okay? Then you could be, if you're not...
Well, because in that case...
Go ahead.
It could be just about you too. It's like, oh, yeah. I want companionship.
Yeah, it's self-centered. We could easily become narcissistic, right? The relationship is about us. You talk to them all night and it says, oh, I want to talk to you. I love talking to you. But you really realize it's a monologue. And you've been talking all about yourself and you say, oh, I'm so tired. Okay, I'm just done talking about myself. Now, what do you think about me, right? That's kind of like narcissistic. That's weird, okay? So, and that will bring all kinds of problems also as well, okay? So these are good reasons, but these are good reasons in light of its right, proper priority, okay? So the first one, a relationship is to please God, okay? Is to please God. Is to please God, okay? By the way, so relationship is to please God, okay? Now we want to talk about understanding what this means, okay? What does this mean, okay? Well, let's turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Josh, you look like a happy, motivated volunteer to want to read out loud, big boy voice, clearly enunciated, properly pronounced, 2 Corinthians 5.
Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing.
Okay. So Paul here in, by the way, 2 Corinthians I really love too. This is a, if you read 2 Corinthians, this is a man who knows suffering, serving the Lord. But you also see a lot of his purpose, okay? His purpose. In this purpose, he says that his life, as his ministry, as everything he does, what is his ambition? Is to what? Please who? Yeah, please God, okay? Please the Lord, as it says, okay? So in this context, he's saying, hey, do I go home with God? Do I, at his other word, he dies and he goes present with the Lord? Or does he stay and serve God? Now, serving God on earth is not necessarily going to be easy, right? So he's saying, okay, but whatever I want, he wants to partly go to heaven, he partly wants to stay, but he says no matter what he does in his life, whether in death or in life, or even going to heaven itself, his whole aim is to please who? To please God, okay? That's pretty incredible, okay? Some of us, because in our sinfulness, we could easily want things to please ourselves first, do we not? Okay? So he's living as an example for us. So his first priority above all else isn't even to please the church. It isn't even to please himself, okay? He didn't treat his life like it's a whole life of just pure Disneyland, okay? Mm-hmm. It's really to please God first. That's his first priority. Now, I would even say the same thing also as well. Courtship, by the way, I use the term courtship or relationship synonymously, okay? Courtship is ultimately not to gratify your own desire, but to rely on what? God, okay? I know sometimes people can be in a relationship and sometimes struggle with purity, right? There's sexual immorality, all kinds of things. But often I think instead of just saying, oh, a bunch of rules, say no, don't do this or that, you go back to the heart of saying, why do you want everything in the relationship is to please God first, okay? But I think with that heart of wanting to please God first helps us. Not that it's easy with temptation, but it helps us a lot much more resisting temptation than if our whole heart and our whole life is not to please God, okay? How do I know my reason is to be in a relationship to please God? Sometimes we can lie to ourselves, right? People could be in a relationship and say, oh, I want to be in this to please God. I want to glorify God. I want to be together so that we could sing all night, 9 to 5, or whatever, you know, late at night, praising God, worship song, okay? Listening again and again, David Crowder music and singing with her, okay? But then, how do we know? We're lying to ourselves because we easily could be self-deceived, yes? I don't know about you, but I think I could easily lie to myself, okay?
Sure.
One of the commandments, do not lie, but I think we lie to ourselves often.
Right.
Okay, we lie to ourselves often. So how do I know my reasons to be in relationships to please God? Number one, you're willingly obedient to pursue a relationship God's way, okay? One of the best ways to see whether or not you're wanting to be relationship with God is to please God, is you're willing to do what? Relationship God's what? Ways, okay? Now, we have little ears today, okay? We have little ears among us today, okay? There could be certain kind of impurity that is three-letter words, okay? But the three-letter word in of itself is not bad.
Right.
If it's between marriage, husband and wife, okay? But then, you know it's not, you're not living to please God if you say, okay, I want this right now, even before marriage. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You're in a relationship. So that's one of the ways to see your heart, okay, whether or not you want to please God. How do you look in your action? Are you willing to pursue relationship God's way, okay? By the way, as we go more towards the fall, later in the fall, I think as we talk about singleness and relationship, we eventually talk about the characteristics of someone you look for, and also what is God's way of pursuing a relationship looks like, okay? Pursuing a relationship God's way. If I could be honest with you, I've only been in one relationship. I'm not saying this to brag. I feel like when I was in the Marines, guys used to make fun of me a lot, like, oh, you've never been in a relationship? Wow, you are, you know, the dreaded V word, right? Like, and the Marines make fun of you, it's like, oh, are you, like, not manly? Or are you, like, the worst part is, are you, like, back in the age of don't ask, don't tell, are you, like, leading your life a certain way, right? Woof, you know, like this. You feel me? Okay? You know, just mean guys, pagan guys, right? But I look back, if you ask me, I'm glad to do things God's way, okay? Rather than be in a relationship just to say, hey guys, I'm in a relationship, just to have somebody there, right? Marine Corps ball, whatever else, okay? But I'm glad to do things God's way because I think there's a sense where God's way is wise, okay? People might make fun of it, everything else, but I think there's a sense of blessing, okay? And actually, if you ask me, now that many years later, I think there's other guys that will tell me the same, like, okay, even the guys I serve, even the guys that I made fun of, would now say, okay, you know, hey, you did things God's way. That is good, okay? It brings a blessing with it, okay? Hey, Jim, your brother?
What's up, brother?
So that's point number one, is a good reason to be in a relationship is to please God first, okay? Is to please God first, okay? Second way of how do you know your reason is to please God first as your first priority is point number two. You're seeking God through prayer when you're considering whether or not to be with somebody, okay? When you're thinking, okay, this might be the one, you're wondering, okay, is this the one that God's called me to be married to? If you're a guy, for instance, you're looking at a fellow Christian sister, a sister in the Lord, and you say, is this the one that God calls me to be in a relationship? And then you don't right away look at the person and say, hey, love at first sight, and say, that's the one, okay? So you prayerfully, right? Rather than being presumptuous, you pray. Does that make sense? Okay? You pray for that. By the way, I would also say not just only pray with that. As we go over later on in the next few weeks about considering relationship, also not only that, is also you consider the wisdom of others. I remember when I was considering whether or not Nancy is the one in a relationship, I realized, okay, it is not going to be what? You don't do this solo, okay? You don't do this solo. Because why? Let's just say I'm interested in her, but I might be blinded, right? Because you have emotions. You also consider wisdom of others, okay? So I remember the first time I've ever went out with Nancy. Do you remember that? We went to watch a Star Wars movie. Maybe not the best way of going around this, but I thought, hey, you know what? Hey, why don't you invite your sisters?
Which Star Wars movie?
The best one.
The best one. When Darth Vader becomes Darth Vader, okay?
When Natalie, what's her name? She's running when she's pregnant.
Portman?
Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
whatever that one is.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Natalie Portman said, you know what? Nancy is better than Natalie.
Yeah.
Anyways, Nancy didn't hear that joke, okay? So, right? So, and I invited my sisters, and my sister was like, hey, why did you invite us to go watch a movie? I was like, no, just hang out. Just, you know, I just want to see what you... And she was like, they're like, hey, there's something up with you. Why? Why did you invite her? You know,
no,
all that kind of thing, right?
Knew.
Yeah, they knew. And I said, no, there's nothing. I just want to see. Just want to see, you know, and also for her to see also as well, right? In other words, don't go solo, like Han Solo, okay? Go and what? And hopefully more than a movie, too, okay? Nothing wrong with movies, but hopefully... It shouldn't be where you just watch movies and you say, oh, I'm in a relationship because I spent 4 hours with her. Oh, what did you do for 4 hours? Well, we watched a movie. And you're walking out holding hands. She's enraptured by Brad Pitt and you're enraptured by, what's her name? Angelina Jolie, right? Hopefully it should be more than that, okay, my friend, my brother and sisters? Okay? Nothing wrong with movies. Again, I'm not those kind of guys that say don't drink or chew or go out and watch movies and never do, right? Okay? Or boys and girls that do. I'm not with that, okay? I don't want to be like weird like that, okay? But of course, there's some movies that's inappropriate, but at the same time, I also want to say, hey, it got to be more than that, okay? With that. So also have others there also as well to find out what they are like, okay? To find out, to have gauging with that, okay? Knowing their parents. But then we're jumping ahead of ourselves now, okay? We'll talk about that later on, okay? So the other thing is, how do you know your relationship is really putting, is to please God first? Is your relationship is based upon God, okay? Relationship is based upon God, okay? By the way, that's also true with friendship too, okay? Sometimes I think it's, before we go into relationship, it's also working on being a good friend with others, okay? Do you guys have any friendship where it's so natural to talk about God, okay? And it's not like cheesy, okay? You're not like trying to force everything, right? You're like, okay, coming over to a person's house, it's like, okay, let's barbecue. And you're barbecuing and saying, hey, I'm barbecuing and I'm thinking about hell, guys, where you either turn or burn. Like, no, like that's too cheesy, okay? But in a way that's natural, like you're just talking about things and it just flows naturally because you love God and the other person loves God. Does that make sense? Okay? So the same thing is based upon God. The thing you talk about, there is this. Now, you can talk about other stuff, okay? I'm not saying, but there's also, it is based upon God. Okay? It's generally based upon God. That's ways you could test whether or not your relationship is really about first pleasing God, okay? So the first priority of a good reason to be in a relationship, the first priority is to please God first, okay? So those are three signs to see what's really, to test yourself whether or not it's really to please God. Number one, you'll be obedient to pursue relationship God's way. Point number two, you're seeking prayerfully about your relationship, whether it is for God. That person is God's will for your life. Thirdly, your relationship is based upon God, okay? Again, this is just starting. We'll have a lot more to say. We'll have a whole semester worth of things to say, okay? And all of this is prepare myself to teach in Nepal, okay? Point number two. Again, remember, all these reasons are good reasons in relationship, but they are a priority. The first one is to please God. Second one is you want to model Christ's relationship with the church, okay? Now, let's talk about what does that mean, okay? Turn with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. We're going to go with the sisters first, the ladies first, okay? Of what does that mean? This means to model Christ's relationship with the church. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24. Since we do have sisters here, Nancy, would you be able to read verse 22? Julie, read verses 23. And a brother...
5:22?
Yeah, 5:22. Actually, you know what, Rebecca, if you want to try to
read
verse 22, yeah. Verse. Nancy, read 23, and then Julie, read verse 24. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. Okay, Rebecca, with a big girl voice. Wise, good. Okay, good. That's good. Verse 22. And then Nancy? Very good, Rebecca.
For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands.
Okay. Now, this verse today, a lot of people don't necessarily like it in the West, right? Because it says wives submitting to the husband. But also, there's going to be responsibility for husbands too, okay? I remember when I was teaching Nepal last year on this subject, I was like trying to, because I'm thinking most of us in the West, we're used to feminism, equality, and everything else. But then they were like, the other extreme, they were like, whoa, okay, we're so thankful for Christianity because it actually, in our culture, make things more fair with everything, okay? So then I realized, okay, because today a lot of people could look at it, oh, Christianity is not fair, it talks about submission, okay? But we'll talk more about that when we get there too, okay? But here, this is for the woman. What does it mean for Christ's relationship and the church, okay? That we model that, okay? There's a sense where, just like Eve was a helper, there's a sense where Eve is help. But again, we're going to explain the men part too. That doesn't mean you're a tyrant to the woman. Does that make sense? Okay. There's a sense you're also called a server too. But here you see, you want to see that you desire for the sisters one day to submit to someone that is your husband. Okay. That means also, by the way, you pick someone carefully ahead of time, right? That's someone that you can submit under. Someone that is a servant leader. Does that make sense? Okay. We'll talk more about that later. Okay. Just in the same way as the church is with Christ. Who does the submitting the relationship with church and Christ?
The church.
The church to Christ. Yeah, okay. Who is the woman supposed to emulate in the model here? It is the church, okay? But we're going to talk more about that also as well. So that's for the woman, okay? But there's also men. This is what men are called to emulate in the relationship. In Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Ephesians 5. 25 to 27. So I'm going to ask for three young men, read verses 25, 26, and 27. Who wants to volunteer for 25?
Huh?
Josh?
Nothing.
26? Phil? Okay.
A
27 for Jim.
Give you another book.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Thus,
whether
he
likes
her sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing the water with the word.
That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless.
Yeah. We read earlier verses 22 to 24 for the women. And just in case if anyone thinks, oh yeah, I could use this verse and tell a woman to submit, you know, woman go make me a sandwich or something crazy like that, right? Here, if you read, notice the men's responsibility. They're called to what? Love their wives. How? It goes back to church and Christ again. Just as Christ loves the church. How much, by the way, did Christ love the church? He died for her, okay? So we too are to love our wives, willing to what? Willing to be self-sacrificial to the point of death. Okay, look at verse 26. So that he might sanctify her.
Okay.
Does Christ wash the church to make her new? Yes. Okay. So likewise also will the husband is what? Sanctifying her. Having cleansed her by the washing of the word. Okay. Let me say this. Verse 26. Okay. Sometimes some people think my job as a pastor is just tell people they're wrong. Did you realize it's easy to tell people they're wrong? Yes?
Sure.
Any yo-yo could go up and say, hey, you're wrong. Okay. Because, and by the way, I take also as well, even those that are foolish, quote unquote, I take their things too, because all of us have blind spots. Sometimes they can see things accurately too. But sanctifying, being a pastor is more than telling somebody they're wrong. It's also saying, okay, hey, this is also the grace of God that allows us to walk in obedience. This is also how God forgives us too, okay? I think it calls us, it's a skill that's very different than just pointing that something is wrong, okay? So in other words, listen, every one of you men, if you desire to be married, one day you're called to be a pastor. You might not be a pastor speaking at 4047 North Durfee Avenue in a place called Truth Chinese Alliance Church in the pulpit every Sunday. But every one of us are called to be a pastor of what? Of shepherding your wife, of someone that you love in a relationship. Of not just only pointing out her flaws, but also say, hey, this is the grace of God. And this is to equip her to do what she needs to do, what she's called to do, and also to encourage her also as well, right? Pastoring The way I usually view ministry is I preach for free on Sunday. Everyone's there on Sunday. You guys realize that? Everyone's there, okay? So it's not like, oh, the pastor's paid. How come I don't get paid to be on Sunday? The way I see it is I'm paid to be serving God Monday through Saturday, okay? And Sunday's for free. Sunday is I'm going there because everyone else is there, and I'm going to be there, preach the word of God, okay? So it's not just preaching, right? It's not just teaching Bible study here. The shepherding is I also meet with who? You guys, right?
Sure.
You guys with various things, discipleship, evangelism, sometimes counseling also as well, right? Driving out there, right? You know, maybe one of these days, Mr. Byrne, I'll also have a meal with you also as well at work too. You know, I realize I haven't really met with you as much, right? Because I just assume you're the older one too, right? But it's also just, but it's a two-way thing, right? When I meet with you guys. I don't think I just go and tell you guys you're wrong. I'm a joyful thing to hear what God is working in your life also as well, right? So it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. Same thing, that's what it is also as well. You're called to be a pastor. You're called to be a spiritual leader to sanctify your spouse. Look at verse 27. Why? So you might present to yourself the church in all her glory, having no wrinkle or any such thing, right? Sometimes it's meet to pray. Sometimes we go through a book together or read an article, right? Sometimes it's just to pray. And sometimes it's dealing with problems. Yeah, I have to come and say, hey, this is right or wrong, you know? This is wrong. You can't be doing this. Okay, you need to repent, right? But it's not just only meaning to beat someone with the Bible, okay? So that's what it is loving care, okay? You guys know what the word husband originally denote with? Husband is what? Husbandry. So
feel like
raising a what?
I thought it was raising like
animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like people raising horses, right? Do you just only beat your horses, right? If you're dealing with horses that just only beat them to race, you're going to have a dead horse, okay? You're taking care of what? You're probably, during off hours, you're what? Taking care of its, what do you call those long hair? It's mare. Mane or mare?
Mane.
Yeah,
mare. Yeah.
Mare is the baby.
Girl horse.
The girl, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So you don't just stare at the mare, okay? You're just what? Taking care of, feeding it, right? Watching over its health, putting on its what? It's shoes, horseshoes, that kind of thing. Does that make sense? You're taking care of it. It's not just beating it to death and using it. Okay? So that's what we're called to, okay?
It's not just. It's not just is applied
like you. Oh, no. You don't beat your wife, okay? Okay, let's just say. Okay, what do you mean, like, you know, horse racing, okay? Yeah, no, okay, I misspoke there, okay? You don't at all, okay? So don't just say, Nancy, say, oh, you know, oh, Nancy, when was the last time, you know, Jimmy beat you? No. I've never, okay? Okay, so that's no. What I mean by that is, you know, it should be more than just using for your own good. It's also what? It's to serve. Okay, it's to serve. Okay, even the horse, it's not just to ride them and that's it. You're taking care of the horse also as well. Okay, does that make sense? So how do I know my reason to be in relationship is to model relationship with Christ in the church? Okay, so your purpose of relationship should be, if you're a woman, instead of say, I'm going to make this relationship model Christ. So the world would see it that it's reflecting of the relationship of Christ in the church. Okay, but how do you know it's definitely in this way? Because so many times people could have, I'm constantly amazed that, I feel sometimes when I evangelize, people could be skeptical about the faith, but when we talk about a biblical portrait relationship, sometimes people say, wow, that's really beautiful. I want that, okay? It's a great testimony to the world. But how do you know it's really that you want to have a priority before companionship, before yourself first, that you want this relationship as the model of the relationship of Christ and the church first? Point number one, ladies, your relationship in the relationship is to characterize ladies, your relationship in the relationship is characterized by practicing godly submission that's already currently present in your life as under the Lord, right? But I think, you know, you've seen, by the way, before you're married, I would even say for single women, is look at how do you submit to those in authority, to your fathers, okay? To school, that kind of thing, okay? By the way, even that's true for men. You want to find a good person to submit under is look at how you submit to proper authority. If he does not know how to submit to others, he's going to be a tyrant, okay? He's going to only know one thing is to say, hey, submit. But he never knows what it means to submit to others, okay? Second is also seeing your life. Is there a general disposition of wanting to help others, okay? A general disposition of wanting to help others, okay? Guys, your relationship, in the relationship is characterized by what? Putting others, what? first. Even when you're a leader, you're a leader to what? To be a servant leader, okay? Biblical leadership is what? Servant leadership. Christ is a leader, even when he was alive on earth. But his leadership was not to say, okay, hey guys, let me kick back. Let me be sitting here and you know what, Rebecca, why don't you get me grapes? And Abigail, why don't you fan me, right? And Hannah, why don't you put it in my mouth, right? That's not what he's using leadership for. He's using leadership to serve others. Does that make sense? Be willing to have exercise sacrificial care for others, okay? Be willing to exercise sacrificial care for others, okay? Hey, Rebecca, Abigail, Hannah, you guys got to be quiet, okay? Okay? So that's how you know, okay, that everything you use to serving is not to cut corners, is not to work less, but it's to serve more. That's generally true true of every area of life. Those that are successful often use their leadership to be able to serve others more. Those that are under them, right? If they're general manager, is to be able to help to those under them, whether it's Trader Joe's, to be able to empower them to do more. Does that make sense? Same thing in the military, right? I think of General Mattis. I'm reading his book, the current Secretary of Defense. I remember when we were in Babylon, when I went to visit Babylon to get some radio frequency, there's thousands of Marines, okay? And man, he's the last one to eat, literally, the last one. And that's like 3 hours later. And Marines eat a lot, right? Guys eat a lot. And I was like, wow, when he goes in there, there's not a lot of... Because how do I know? Because as a junior Marine, after I eat, when I was a, you know, prior first class in school, when I go in for seconds, I notice, oh, there's not enough food left. Then you see this General Mattis coming in, right? And he's eating last, every single meal. Now, it might be cute to do it once in a while for show, but to do that every single meal, it's like, I don't know about you, that's kind of hard, okay? And guys eat, and the main course is gone, and, you know, and you're like, wow. You know, and there's flies all over it. You know, it's just like, wow, this guy is sacrificial, right? There's a sense why there's guys that are loyal to him, even to the point of death because of that, right? Same thing, that's sacrificial. Now, I know he's not always good. I know he's yelled at, you know, he's not always nice because he's a Marine general, right? He's fired people, and, you know, there's the stories I have, like, man, he's kind of crazy, okay? He could be kind of crazy, okay? But at the same time, a servant leader, okay? A servant leader, okay? And all that we do, okay? So you model that, okay? Third reason why good reasons to be in relationship, a third priority, is you want to love the other person, okay? You want to love the other person, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go around each person, read a verse in 1 Corinthians 13. It's so beautiful, I think it's worth reading until I say stop, okay? Reading a big chunk of it. Let's go around with 1 Corinthians 13, Jim, and then we go around. Clockwise, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1.
If I speak with the tongues of men,
yeah, 1 Corinthians 13.
I'm going to start. Okay. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
If I have the gift of prophecy, and no one mystery,
and
all knowledge,
and
if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains,
but
do not have love, I have
nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing.
Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, but does not brag, and is not arrogant.
Or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful.
Does not rejoice at wrongdoing, rejoices with the truth.
Bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. And then that's the first thing.
Let never be the whole thing.
Yeah, we can stop there, okay? So if you notice here, there's all these description of love, okay? When I first became a Christian, I read this chapter and I thought this was really amazing. Then I look at it and I actually said to myself, oh, I guess I'm okay. I'm a very loving person. Okay? But then at a few years, 10 years later, I look at this passage, like 10 years later, I remember at a point in seminary translating this and feeling like so convicted, like, man, I'm not loving, okay? I guess it is to say that as you grow more, you see your own sinfulness, okay? But I would say actually I'm more of a loving person 10 years later than when I was 15, okay? So I bring this to say that, yeah, you know, this is a chapter that's pretty convicting, okay? You read this and it's like, wow. If you read this and say, oh, I arrived, you probably haven't arrived, okay? But if you read this and you're convicting, then you know that God is working in you, okay? look at this and say, is this true of how you relate to others, okay? Of how you are with the person you're in relationship with or you're married to, okay? By the way, even if you're single, okay? You're single as a single Pringle, okay? Even if that's the case, look at how you love towards others that you might not be in your relationship right now. Your family, your church, okay? Are you kind? Are you jealous? Are you bragging or are you arrogant? Look at this, all of this, okay? To say that this is what you are to be. In the relationship, you should be loving the other person, okay? Loving about the other person. So it's not about you and your rights first. It's about all of this, okay? Doing all of this for them, okay? Know what love is, and also know what 1 Corinthians says of what love is not. How do you know? How do you know your relationship to love the other person? Look at this list and say, is this true? Is your life reflecting this? However imperfectly, is there a degree of these being reflected, what love is? And do you see symptoms of selfishness, which is contrary to love, okay? With that, okay? So, again, these are the right priorities. I would say these are priorities is very, very important, okay? Now, in relationship, I think that's the same thing too, like marriage relationship. When you guys were little, when you see your mommy and daddy hugging and kissing each other, do you guys ever go like, oh, okay, stop, all that, right? Where it's kind of like, oh, TMI and everything else, right? But have you ever thought about it? For the little kids, they might be like, oh, okay, mommy and daddy's kissing, oh, okay. But if you think about it, the best thing for their kids, for that family, is actually for the husband and wife to love each other first. Right. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It's a source of all stability for the kids. But if they put the kids first, that could also be a problem, you know, also as well, okay? It could be all about the kids, but then it's not about each other. The spouse hate each other, but then when you think about it, that undermines the relationship for the kids, right? Then they divorce and everything else, but they're there to love the kids first. But then also the parents, the kids want what? A marriage where it is stable, a husband and wife that love each other. Does that make sense? Could I say this? The same thing, that same analogy, the same way too. Your best thing for your relationship, the best thing for a husband or wife relationship with my wife and I, Nancy and I, is what? That Nancy loves God first. That I love God first. That is a priority. That would then benefit what? Nancy and I. In the same way, then, I love my wife second. After loving God first, that also my kids benefit from that. Does that make sense? Same way, these are the priorities with all of that, okay? We benefit with that, okay? And by the way, when you put God first, sometimes when you mess up, do you feel more better or feel more worse? What do you guys think? If you put God first, when you sin, or when you mess up in your relationship, like morally, ethically, does that make you feel more better or worse? What do you guys think?
Worse.
I feel more worse, right? Before, okay, if I just think, okay, well, I messed up. Oh, I wasn't nice to my wife. Well, yeah, that's because she deserved it, right? I'm just saying this in order, because I only look at her. But then I suddenly see God, I was like, uh-oh, well, God is all perfect. He's been so good to me. Christ died for me. And he tells me, okay, yeah, maybe she's wrong, but I still cannot be angry or outburst. Suddenly, does it get convicting? Oh, yeah. Suddenly, it's not just, oh, I just wronged against my wife. Suddenly, it's like, oh, no, I wronged against my wife and God. And suddenly, oh, no, God knows my heart. I might say, oh, no, I'm doing this. I'm just speaking truth in love. But then God knows my heart. Suddenly, becomes what? More convicting. Does that make sense? But then at the same time, that gives more grace for change. When I realize how sinful I am, when I see the problem is not my wife first, but myself, I go to God and confess my sin and say, oh God, I'm so sinful. But Lord God, forgive me, work in me. And I actually feel in my life, it's only when I see how sinful I am do I change. Do I go to God and say, I can't even change. I'm so bad, I can't change my own. God, help me. Lord God, save me. Lord God, I'm going to be doing things your way. Lord God, I'm giving up. I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to confess my sins first, you wash me new, and I'm going to go by your way. No cutting corners of change. But that produced what? True lasting change. That I'm able to love others the way that God called me to. Does that make sense? Okay? So love the other person. It is a good a purpose. And finally, the last one is companionship. Okay? It is okay to want to be in a relationship to have companionship. I don't want to be like so super spiritual and say, oh, well, I'm in a relationship, it's never about me. Okay? But notice the priority. Is companionship is last, first, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter... Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. That's in the Old Testament. If you need to use the table contents, that's okay.
Ecclesiastes 4 or 5.
Ecclesiastes chapter 4.
Verse 8.
Verses 8 to 10. Actually, Josh, you want to read the whole thing? Verses 8 to 10.
Okay. there was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son nor a brother, yet there was to end to all, there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, they were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked them, for whom am I laboring and depriving myself of pleasure? This is too is vanity, and it is a grievous task. There are two better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them fails, the one will lift up companions, but woe to him, and there is not another man to lift him up.
Okay, good. Okay, so this passage in Ecclesiastes is showing what? That there is a goodness of having a companion. Okay, of having a companion. Notice how sad. I mean, scripture, I think there's a beautiful poetry that sometimes we miss, and the imagery, scripture could paint. Look at the word picture, verses 8. He describes first the negative about a man that had no what? Dependent. He still has to work. He has no son or brother. And yet, all his work in the end of the day, what does it mean? What does it say in verses 8? And then it says his eyes are never satisfied, even if he's rich, right? And he's saying, okay, why am I doing all this for, right? It's a grievous task. Mm. To work all day and come back, what? All your labor at the end of your life is all for what? Nothing, okay? Yesterday I was reading, because it's my day off, I was reading just Chinese history, just for fun, where I was reading about this one general. It was a very good general. And then his enemies were able to kill all his family members. I'm talking about, like, it's brutal. Killed all his wife and kids and, like, his relatives and, like, everybody that's affiliated with him. Now, he later won the war because he was that what? It made him that mad, right? His enemy, he killed pretty, it was pretty brutal, okay? But then after his, even victory, in the end of the day, for his victory for the king was what? Was nothing, right? In the end, it was like, what was that all for? And the book, it was pretty sad because what? He went back home, he ran that city Nanjing very well, but guess what happened? He would go back home and there was no purpose of living, right? There was nothing. He would be in his home room and it would be empty, right? He lost it all. That's like Ecclesiastes 4 verse 8, right? You lose it all and say, oh, there's nobody. So in other words, companionship is what? Meaningful, okay? Verses 9. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor, okay? So it is good to have companionship. Scriptures have that, right? By the way, Adam was created. There was no sin. And yet, God saw there was a need for what? Companion. God created what? Eve, okay? God's natural solution for loneliness is relationship, including marriage. Okay? So it is good. But I want to say, we'll put it as proper priority, okay? Look at verses 10. It says, if ye of them fall, the one will lift up his companion. But what do one who fall when there's not another to lift him up, okay? I'm glad, even in ministry, that my wife is there. I am so glad, okay? There's some times where I'm like, man, I guess I'm going to do this. And my wife's like, maybe that's not the right way. Or maybe that's not the, maybe you didn't see things fully, okay? And we need each other, okay? Does that make sense? I'm glad ministering to sisters, my wife is there, okay? Because sisters to sisters is very different, okay? And by the way, I don't want to be the guy that's all alone, ministering to somebody, okay? If you're married, I would never meet with your wife alone. You guys catch me, okay? I would rather be known as a man's pastor than the guy that's what? Meeting with all this, hey, let's go grab Bob, okay? That's all kinds of trouble, okay? With that, okay? So when I ever meet with the sisters, who would I bring along? My sister or my wife is there, okay? Or some other sisters, like plural, many sisters, okay? With that, okay? So even with single girls, I never meet alone. So that way, never seen temptation, or even if it's like, so, oh, you're never tempted with this particular virtue, it doesn't look improper. Does that make sense? Okay? It doesn't look improper. Okay? And that's actually how Nancy started coming to church. You guys realize that? It was back in the day where when we did PCC, we had all these girls come over to I was inviting to church. And then I was looking at all these guys that I thought was super spiritual, falling into all kind of immorality. I thought, well, if they're super strong and I'm not strong, who am I to think I'm the fool, that I could be stronger than them? So then I thought, you know what, Nancy? You're a godly woman, and why don't you help me with dealing with all these very difficult girls, women back then too? And then things grew, passion grew, and therefore we got married eventually. Do you remember those days? Very difficult days too, by the way. Ministry is people are not always easy, okay? But some of them, you know, had all kinds of problems, come over, share all kinds of, like, things, like, you should not be telling a guy, but I needed somebody else there. Does that make sense? With that, okay? So companionship is good, okay? Companionship is good. Make you more productive, verse 9, and is a help, okay? When I was in seminary, I was more productive when I got married than when I was not married, okay? So verses 9, okay? So that's a good thing, okay? With all these things, okay? How do you know my reason is for God and companionship? Your servant for the Lord increase, just like verses 9, increase, and also you're there to love one another, but also to help the other person also as well. Does that make sense? Okay? With that, okay? So these are good reasons to be in a relationship. But make sure it's in proper order. Next week we'll talk about bad reasons. And some of these things that we talked about is going to appear because it's bad because it's out of what? Priority. Does that make sense? It's out of place of which goes first than the other, okay?